RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Back to pass, pressure coming, and he's sacked by Jalen Carter, who just whipped Osiris Torrance. Bills are lined up for the Catholic Health extra point. Catholic Health, the right way to care, and it's blocked. The kick is blocked. Gilliam in motion, left to right. Here's the snap. Back to pass, pressure coming. Allen fires to the end zone, and he misses.
There you go, some of the sounds from yesterday's 13-12 Buffalo Bills loss to the Philadelphia Eagles from Chris Brown and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sal Capaccia with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. And of course, every single Friday, we talk football here today. It is brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. Call the 8s. What did I say? Friday? Monday. See, I'm all messed up already. A Buffalo Football Monday. A Buffalo Football Monday. Sorry, folks. I'm thinking if it's Friday. Had the wrong script in front of me. Let's go. Monday Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Catholic Health. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care. And brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. I mean, I'm already trying to get through the week because I'm ready to go on next week. But we got to talk about this week. So, right away. Not a great way to start the show calling it a Friday, but in the meantime, can we just get to Friday? Can we get to next week? Can we get to the final game in Highmark? Can we get to what's happening with the Bills and who they're going to play in their first playoff game? We know they will be home next week for what essentially will be the final game ever at Highmark Stadium. Certainly the last regular season game and most likely last game ever. The only way it wouldn't happen is that the Bills finish 5 or 6. And then they host the 6 or 7 in that scenario. So we'll see how all that turns out next week. We'll get to all of that later, but a lot to get to today. I want to open up the phone lines. 803-0550, that's the number to call. A Buffalo Football Monday reaction show. Anytime we do the reaction show, you know how it works. You give a call. I let you talk about what's going on, what's on your mind. We talk about it. We talk through it. Good, bad, and different. Questions, comments, opinions on what went down yesterday inside Highmark Stadium. You heard Chris Brown right there on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network talk about and call the blocked kick, the miss from Josh Allen to Khalil Shakir in the two-point play. All that is on the table today, and I want to get with you. So let's do that. In the meantime, every Monday, we are on video here on a Buffalo Football Monday, and you can join us. We are on the YouTube stream, WGR. We are on the Twitch stream as well. And today you will notice I am inside Studio Capaccio today. So not inside our normal WGR Amherst studios because, quite frankly, the weather is terrible. There's some travel advisories in effect. And I probably, you know, could have made it into the station, maybe out of the station to come back to Studio Capaccio and back home. But with everything going on the way it is and the technology we have today, better be safe than sorry not to be traveling out there. And if you have any questions, any concerns about travel today, the roads, the weather, whatever it is, be sure you're tuned into WBEN News Radio 930. So check them out down the dial at 930 a.m. If you have any questions, concerns about what's going on with travel today, with the wind, with the snow, the timing, we're going to be all over that for you on our Odyssey sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. In the meantime, of course, taking your phone calls here at 803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Monday. All right, the blocked kick, I mean, that loomed large in this game, right? I mean, there's no doubt about it. The blocked kick was a huge, huge deal. And it basically kind of, I'm not going to say forced Sean McDermott's hand, right? It wasn't forced. He didn't have to do it. But it certainly played a factor in Sean McDermott at the end of the game going for the win on the two-point conversion and not kicking the extra point. If Michael Badgley hits the first extra point and the Bills don't have it blocked, if the Eagles don't block the first extra point, then when they score the second touchdown, they most likely win the game. You can't count on that extra point going through either, by the way. Badgley was basically cut from Indy because he was missing extra points, and then he missed one last week as well. And so there was no guarantee there. I was very curious on the morning show early on today what the tenor was of the calls and the game. And I asked the producer, Joe Kelly, who did the morning show, producing the morning show, Dan Dale, by the way, producing here today with Owen Parker on the video side. And I asked, like, I didn't really listen all morning. I did my segment. What were the callers saying about the two-point conversion? And yeah, there's some debate about it, but not a ton of people are really kind of going too hard on that. And that's where I am. Like, I don't think this game falls on the decision to go for two by Sean McDermott. I totally understand. Now, if you want to say, I can't believe it, they shouldn't have gone for two, they had the momentum, I get all that. I really do. Like, that's the Bills were playing very well on defense. There's no guarantee they would have stopped Philly if they get the ball first in overtime, but they were playing well on defense. It was a struggle on offense. I think you have to look way deeper into this game, though, just from the, you know, 30,000-foot view and think, oh, why did they go for two? Because I saw a lot of people online who maybe not be Bills fans or Eagles fans. I saw some stuff this morning, just kind of football fans bumping around going, I can't believe the Bills went for two. What a dumb decision. And I don't think those people understand what you should as a Bills fan. What you should understand as a Bills fan watching this game was, A, they don't trust the kicker, and for good reason. Now, we could have a discussion about why that kicker was kicking, but they didn't trust the kicker. The guy missed an extra point last week, had the blocked extra point. There was no guarantee that that thing was going through. Okay, number two, you have Josh Allen. You need 2 yards. He's the best player on the field. You trust him. I know he's generally going to make plays. He didn't make it there, but that's number two. And maybe most importantly, Josh Allen's dealing with a foot injury. And you could tell that as the game went on, it was impacting him on some level. Going to overtime would have extended that game by at least one more offensive drive, maybe two. We're talking, what, 5, 10, 15 plays? Josh had already been sacked 5 times. You put him in more harm's way. I get it. I have no issue at all with Sean McDermott going for the two-point conversion. If you want to fight back against that and give me all the reasons why they shouldn't have, totally understand. I get it. I just don't think that's where this game lies as far as why the Bills lost. The Bills lost this game because they could not move the ball on offense for 55 minutes. They couldn't score for 55 minutes. They actually moved the ball pretty well a couple of different times. They couldn't score for 55 minutes. We were actually on the radio broadcast side looking up the last time the Bills were shut out. And if you remember, I'm sure you do, the last time the Bills were shut out was Josh Allen's rookie year. It was 2018 at Green Bay. Luckily, it didn't happen, but it was getting to that point because the Bills couldn't score. Then they finally get down and with 5 minutes and 11 seconds left, score their first touchdown of the game. Folks, that's 55 minutes of NFL football with a Josh Allen-led offense and a James Cook-led rushing attack that the Buffalo Bills did not score. That's unacceptable. You cannot do that. You cannot have that happen. And how did it happen? Even though the Bills actually did move the ball a few times, because what's been the theme this year on offense has been critical mistakes at inopportune times. This year, as opposed to most years in the past when they've had this quarterback and this offense, this year there is so much less margin for error. So much less margin for error. And they have made the errors and given themselves that much less margin. And that's why they've struggled on offense at times. Now, it's funny because you look at the actual offensive numbers. The Bills are what? Going into the game, third in the league in points per game. EPA, they're fourth per play. Like, all these great metrics. I get it. But we all know it's been a bit of feast or famine for the offense. They've either put up big points or they've struggled mightily. In the games where they've struggled mightily, there's been times where they just couldn't do anything. But I think for the most part, and you go back to even like New England, right? The first game of the first loss they had, the New England game. That one comes to mind. you go to games where they've lost this year sometimes, and it's been they've just made critical mistakes at really tough times, and they can't overcome it because they do not have the margin for error. And what would be a critical mistake? You get the ball over midfield, you have a holding call on Deion Dawkins, creates a long yardage situation. Then you don't have a drop pass from Khalil. I don't remember if that was on the same drive. That creates a long yardage situation. You put Josh Allen back there, teeing off, guys coming after him. They're not protecting him as well. You have an interior offensive line. All those interior defensive line, excuse me, that's dominating your offensive line. All those things matter, and they're now starting to really come out when you have less margin for error, okay? I think that is what happened yesterday when... Now, it's funny because the Bills actually had a fumble where Josh Allen jumped on it, and then on the next play, they did go deep, and they made up for it. See, in years past, they would make up for those things. They can't make up for those things now like they used to be able to. They have to play such... I'm not going to say flawless football... much more perfect football now on offense than they used to. And they haven't been doing that. I'm going to get to the defense in a little while because they played a good game. The defense played a really good game, and it's just a shame. This defense that's been much maligned all year, they give up 82 yards rushing. They give up less than 4 yards a carry to Saquon Barkley. They give up only 13 points. They give up 16 yards in the second half. Yeah, that counts a kneel down, but... even without the kneel down, 17 yards on 17 plays. Without the kneel down at the end, 17 yards on 17 plays. Officially for the Eagles, 16 yards on 18 plays because of the minus one on the kneel down. And you get that defensive performance and you don't win. That's a tough pill to swallow. Tough pill to swallow. We'll get to that in a little while. I want to say hi to everybody in the chat box. Thank you very much for coming in. We got a lot of you in there as usual. Nick and Depew, AC Man. Dylan Mark, who else we got? We got Yen in there, and I might be saying your first name. Bill, John, Canelli, I think it is. Who else we got? Fandomant. All right, thank you, Brian. All right, hi, everybody. I see you all. Robert, thank you very much for coming aboard. You can get in the chat box. You can say hi. I don't have time to really get into it with you in the chat box. You can get into it with each other, but I like to say hi and recognize you because you're doing the work in there to... stay engaged with everybody and listen to the show. All right. 803-0550 is the number to call. I'll get to the defense. They played a really good game. They made adjustments in the second half. And the funny thing is, even though they were even way better in the second half than the first, they didn't have to be way better because they were good in the first half. The one drive they gave up really for a touchdown was on a short field. And that was a tough drive to give up. But otherwise, they played well. You know, the only real criticism I have of the defense was giving up third and longs again in the first half. And that allowed a couple drives to extend. Again, a third and 10, a third and 12. That's been a theme this year where that's happened. But otherwise, I don't think you can have much of a complaint about the way the defense performed in this game. This game was not on the defense. This game comes down to the offense not being able to execute in critical moments. And, of course, the two-point play at the end. And Josh Allen not being at his best. And, folks, he's still great. He's still Josh Allen. But he needs to make that throw. He didn't. I think he rushed it. I think because he had been getting pressure all game, because his foot was probably impacting him in some way, he knew Khalil was coming open. He saw some pressure to his right. If you go watch the play again, Josh has a clear lane to his left to just step up, move to his left a little bit, and then it's an easy pitch and catch to Khalil Shakir. By the way, I don't think Joe Brady was great all game, but that was a great play design. Great play design on the two-point conversion. They've been saving that one. They've been working on it. Great play design on that. Great play design on the hook and ladder. Shouldn't have got to that, though, because I hated the third down call to get to that before the hook and ladder. I didn't like the way that they did not run a hurry up, not go tempo with 2 minutes left. They should have done that just in case they didn't score and had to punt it away with three timeouts. But so a lot of things that's like minutia under. But at the end of the day, defense gave them a chance to win. Offense took too long to get going. They finally did. And then they didn't make the final play. What's the overall 30,000-foot view, though, as I like to say? In a weird, weird way, and of course, I'm not telling you I wanted the Bills to lose. I didn't. It would be great if they'd won, put pressure on New England to win next week. Quinn Ewers looked pretty good for Miami. Maybe he would go into New England and win. I don't know. I doubt it. But in a weird way, I think we all recognize this might be the best thing for the Bills anyway. They have to get healthier. They have to get their quarterback healthy. They got to get guys back. And week 18 sets up for them to not have to go out there and push it to the limit and put guys out there who can put them in harm's way, and they can maybe have a week 18 rest situation for a lot of these guys. We'll see how they play it. So at the end of the day, this might have been the best thing for the Buffalo Bills. But you still have a bitter taste in your mouth after the loss. 803-0550. Let's get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Billy's going to start us off in Toronto. Hi, Billy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Yeah, listen, I'm just gonna throw this game right out. I got some complaints that I'm gonna hit you with, but I mean, once again, the weather was god awful. I don't know why teams try to run the ball when the weather's that bad. Running backs can't cut, can't do all the little things. I say put the ball up 50 times, and I know you're gonna fire back at me saying, "Well, look at the pressure they got on Josh," but if you go up tempo, fast tempo, I don't think they get to him. I would have put the ball up a lot more than we did yesterday. As for the two-point conversion, I'm not going for it. Not
you think it's easier to throw the ball in those conditions? You think it's easier to throw the ball than run the ball in those conditions?
Yeah, I do, because I think the receivers are easier for them to get open. I mean, maybe it's harder. Josh can throw a ball through a tornado. We all know that. And I just think that the receivers can't cover guys. Defensive backs can't cover the receivers when they're cutting all over the place. I mean,
yeah, I think it's tougher to catch the ball though, cause it's wet, but either way, Billy, go ahead. And yeah, you're right. I would not want Josh Allen dropping back 50 times against that pass rush. I don't care. I mean, no, he was already banged up. He was sacked 5 times. Anyway, go ahead. Keep going on what you want to say.
Okay. So 2-point conversion, I never go for. I'm kicking it and I'm taking my chance in extras, but whatever. That's not my main concern. Sal, I called you, I've called you a number of times, but I remember calling you one time and I complained about this, and this may seem nothing to anybody, but we get the ball back on the 50-yard line. We're down 10-0. We're down 13-0. We get the ball on the 50-yard line with 10 minutes to go. And you just finished saying that they get the ball, we score and they get the ball back with about 5 minutes left. I see no urgency, and I'm blaming Josh on this. I was watching the clock constantly, seeing when we're going to snap the ball. We kept running the ball down to 3 seconds on the clock, and I'm saying, come on, guys, get in the damn huddle and move it. I want the ball. If we get them three and out, we get the ball back with seven, 8 minutes if we score. We ran it all the way down to five minutes, and yes, I know we got the ball back, and we almost won the game. But
yeah, I get it. No, I'm with you, Bill. I agree with you on this. I think they should have gone more up tempo as the game was going on. I thought they reduced their number of opportunities. You know what I mean? And that's what it comes down to. So
lastly, still, simply put, for a game that just looked god awful, once again, the Bills almost came back and stole this win. That's the positive I'm taking out of it. Josh, just get healthy. Sal, I'm telling you, I got all the faith in the world in this team, and it's setting up for us. The only thing I don't like is, damn it, Cleveland went and beat Pittsburgh. I don't want Baltimore in the playoffs, and it looks like they're going to get in. They scare the hell out of me. But other than that, I'll just let you get to the other callers. Thanks.
You got it, Billy. No, I got to go. Thank you. I appreciate that, Billy. I do agree with you. They should go up tempo. Baltimore, isn't that? I mean, I agree with you too. Baltimore, like, come on, get them in the playoffs. You never know with that matchup, and I mean, the Bills could wind up playing them, but. I said it yesterday going into the game. Like, this is the kind of game the Steelers lose, and then they'll win next week. And then they did lose, and they'll probably win next week. I don't know. Can't see them really beating Baltimore, but you can because it's the Steelers, and it's the Baltimore Ravens. Steve in Orchard Park. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Sal. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm good, thanks.
Just a couple thoughts. I thought in the beginning of the game we were getting out physical by their pass rush, obviously. Mm-hmm. We had some of our guards and get thrown around pretty good. But
I gave both guards an arrow down in my arrow up, arrow down column. Yeah. I thought it was a tough day for both Torrance and Edwards.
Yes, that was obvious. But as the game went on, you know, you could see the way our defense was played. And I'm not going to put the whole game on Josh because we dropped some balls. We actually threw deep 4 or 5 times, which I thought was good. But Josh has to play more within himself in certain situations and recognize those situations. You can't take an 18-yard sack. I don't know if you saw the play where he didn't get in on fourth down. Brady set up a one-man screen with Cooks and a blocker in front, and one defender was at about the goal line. If he throws it to him right off the hop, it's probably a touchdown. Yeah. So there was also several checkdowns that Josh – just didn't throw to open guys to keep the down and distance reasonable. He just didn't want to throw that ball yesterday. So, you know.
Yeah, the one I remember too was the play that was a fumble that maybe it shouldn't have been a fumble. Who knows? They called it a fumble. He had Jackson Hawes early in the down there, and he should have thrown it. Instead, he extended the play, and it's a he gets hit by he gets pressured by Jalen Phillips, and it winds up being a fumble. So yeah, I agree with you. There were times yesterday where I just thought, I don't know, maybe the pressure, whatever, the pressure meaning not the pressure of the game, but the pressure of the Eagles impacting maybe the foot. But Steve, I got to run. Thank you. I have three Steves on hold. He's Steve in Orchard Park, and we have Steve in Virginia here as well. Hi, Steve in Virginia. Go ahead.
Hey, Sal. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to ask, I mean, I'm hoping the Bills treat next week kind of like a bye, just mainly so we can get our players, you know, healthy, mm-hmm. such as like possibly like Prater, you know, Kincaid. I don't know if like any word on Oliver, if he'd be available for the wild card, but just wanted to ask, like, if you knew like injury timelines, like, do you think Prater could be back, or do we know the extent of his injury? And
well, according to Sean McDermott yesterday, he was basically asked and he said he's feeling better, he's getting better. He didn't want to commit to a timeline. It might be a situation where you don't want to even have him next week. Maybe you don't want to put him out there in the snow, in the cold, and just give him another week. You know what I mean? Because next week doesn't matter as much. But he should be. To me, like, I'm getting the vibe, at least, Steve. I apologize to you. One second. I'm getting the vibe, at least, that he should be ready for the playoffs. You know what I mean? And that would be good. At Oliver, Sean McDermott actually said he had a bit of a setback recently, but he still doesn't think that might impact his timeline. But he didn't give a timeline on that. So hopefully that's the case. Now, here's the issue, Steve. I agree with you. They should treat next week like a bye. Let Josh have his streak intact. Put him on the field for one snap, two snaps, get him off the field like last year. The issue is, Steve, you can only dress 48 players. You can only call up two players from the practice squad. They can't just rest everybody. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So that's going to be tough, but I agree that that's how they should play it. All right, we're going to go with the hat trick of Steve's. This one's a Steven down in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Yeah, it's a bittersweet day for sure. I was listening to your podcast with Everyday Game Day with Matt Beauvais last night after the game. And, you know, I was thinking back, contrast, okay, a couple of quick things. Last season versus this season offensively. Last season, okay, Josh ended up being the MVP, and Cook was number three overall for running backs. This year, Josh is not playing overall as an MVP, and Cook is the number one running back. Now, the thing is, I think the turning point in this game was in the first quarter where Josh went to pass the ball, and it fumbled, and it went way back behind him, and because they had momentum going up until then. After that, they just couldn't seem to get in rhythm offensively until the last 5 minutes of the game. And I called a friend of mine at halftime and I said, okay, 13-0, Bills will come back. They've done this many times this season. And here they go down to the last 5 minutes. And I look back at the missed extra point by Badgley, and I think that was a big key, because if they'd have got that extra point, I know it was blocked, but if they'd have got that extra point, it would have been 13-7. So then all they needed to do was score the other touchdown and then kick the extra point, and yeah, they would have won. So that was one thing. But I have to say this, blame offensively has to go equally between Josh and the O-line, especially the guards. Mm-hmm. You've already pointed that out. I know the weather played a big factor, and I looked at Josh. You could tell he was still hurting with his foot. His mobility was really limited. I was really surprised when he made that long run, but that's Josh. But it's just, and I was expecting them to go for the 2-point conversion, but it's just a shame that he missed it in the end zone to, I think it was Shakir. So, you know, it's a disappointing loss. They could have won this game, but, you know, now what we got to look forward to is the playoffs, put this behind us and just go on. So go Bills.
All right, you got it, Steve. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's get to Mark in Hamburg before the break. Hi, Mark. Oh, Mark dropped. That opens up real quickly. Mike in Colorado. Hi, Mike.
Yes, good morning. Two things real quick. I'll be glad when Joe Brady accepts the next offensive coordinator at Northwest Louisiana Tech or wherever he wants to go, because he might as well call college football, because he runs college-type plays. He's got no trust in his players. We're talking pro players here. We need to start treating these wide receivers as pro players. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, this, that, and the other about wide receivers. Well, let these guys run pro-type plays. You know, they keep running these screen patterns, and then, of course, you've got the 6-7 yard pass to the tight end in the middle, which we didn't use yesterday, which I don't know why. And then, of course, his handoff up the middle, which he always seems to run. And so as far as Joe Brady goes, yeah, he can accept the next head coaching job or offense coordinator job somewhere, but I'll just be glad to see him go. And then secondly, the offensive line, and I think they've pretty much struggled almost the whole year. They've had a few good games mixed in there. But our drag racing tackle over there, he allowed a horrible sack yesterday. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he keeps making Pro Bowls, but I don't get it. And I agree with your up or down as far as the guards go. They got emasculated almost the whole game. But other than that, that's all I have to say about that game. I just wish Joe Brady would be out of here next year and we get somebody that has trust in pro wide receivers. Thank you.
Okay, Mike, this is the chicken and egg argument, right? Which is, and there's believe me, you could definitely criticize Joe Brady for a lot and play calling and all that. I'm open to it, but it's a chicken and egg with the receivers because I don't know who's getting open either. And you have to try to manufacture ways to get the ball to people if guys aren't getting open. But thanks for the call. We'll take a timeout here. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday. Good calls to start the show. We got a lot more on the way. I have open phone lines right now at 803-0550. So give me a call. We'll come back. We'll talk about it more. We're in the chat on YouTube, on Twitch, on the stream. So make sure you check us out there. Sal Capaccio with you. And the Bills lose 13-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles. They will not win the division this year. They will be a wild card team. And they're playing at 4:25 p.m. next Sunday against the Jets. A lot more to get to here on WGR.
We got a lot of things we need to discuss as a leadership group. And, I mean, you got the last game in Highmark Stadium here. That's important to me. It'll be important to our guys, to our staff. And there's other things that come into consideration, you know. So it won't be easy, but it is important that we have a good...
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, I'm just having some fun in the chat box with some of you. I don't know if this was this is actually the question you're asking, because I got in late, but IDL716 says, do we know the hook and ladder references? So the reason it's called a hook and ladder, if this is what you're asking, maybe not, maybe I'm getting in late on this. It's a hook route. Generally, it's you run to the sticks, you turn around, it's a hook route, because it's going to be open in the middle of the field or near the hashes, basically. And then when you catch it, you lateral it back, hook and lateral, hook and ladder. The most famous hook and ladder I remember growing up was the San Diego Chargers. I'm sorry, the Miami Dolphins ran it against the San Diego Chargers in an epic playoff game. Go look at that hook and ladder. I think it was Nat Moore. Oh, man. It was a great, that was like the first, like, oh my God, what a hook and ladder. I can't believe that play was Don Shula coaching. And I think Woodley was the quarterback for Miami at the time. Go check that out. If you, that's like the first like real famous hook and ladder I remember. So, but anyway, that's why they call it a hook and ladder. A hook is the route, a lateral, a hook and ladder. Bills ran it to perfection twice now, twice. But I wonder if Tom is referencing this play when he wants to talk about a third down call and what led to that sequence. I'll let him talk. Go ahead, Tom. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead. I can hear something beeping in the background as well.
Oh, sorry about that, Sal. I was wondering about that third down where Josh took us out of field goal position. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if he had thrown that ball, if it would have been intentional grounding. And because I know that he kind of ran outside of the pocket, but then had kind of come back in, and I've been a little confused on those rules. And also, I just wanted to mention that I was happy. I'm actually an usher at the games, and I was happy that Mr. Brightside didn't play, because I like that it's becoming more of a victory song rather than just something that they play every time that they play at the stadium. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, I think only times they've really played it are when they've been up big or about to win, or earlier this year they didn't play it until they did win. The question about Josh, so I believe, I'd have to check on this to make sure, to be honest with you, Tom, but I believe the rule would be if he went back into the box, he went into the tackle box and then threw it, it would be considered intentional grounding. But once you're outside the tackle box, if you throw the ball, it's not intentional grounding if you throw the ball away. So hopefully that answers your question. Corey is in Pennsylvania. Hi, Corey. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I appreciate Allen. He's my favorite player, all that. But I think he deserves the majority of the blame yesterday. The decision-making, we can say about the receivers and this and that, not having Kincaid, but like you're saying on the second and two where he takes the fumble, it was a fumble in my opinion. He had Halls open in the – he didn't take him. He had Cooks on the one. And if he just sets his feet on the two-point conversion, I think he gets it. So all the faith in Allen, but it's okay to criticize the MVP once in a while. And I think that loss is on him yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't his best day. I gave him a narrow down, not only for his overall game, but also for the two-point conversion. I mean, that's a play he's got to make, Corey. You're right about that. And you're right. Listen, I mean, nobody's above the criticism or, you know, beyond reproach. We can certainly criticize Josh Allen. I think there's a recognition. I know you're not you're saying this, which is, for all the great things he does, there's times where you say, well, he wasn't good enough. And for all the times he's not good enough, he's better than good enough and great many, many other times, exponentially. So I hate doing it. Like, it sounds weird when you do it, but it's just the truth, right? Yesterday was not his best day. I think there's circumstances that lead to that, which are foot bothering him. He's under pressure. He didn't have a great, you know, didn't have great protection, but he's got to make better decisions. And at times yesterday, the decision-making wasn't the best. I don't think it was the best against Cleveland a week ago either. And that's got to be better. And hopefully by first round of the playoffs in 2 weeks, some of these things get cleaned up where Josh feels a little bit more comfortable to make those decisions a little bit better, more efficiently. Let's go to Jim in North Tonawanda. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Sal? Yesterday, didn't the Bills know they had, what was it? Were they both rookies and they had never played before in a regular season game or whatever?
Who?
The Bills. We had some.
I have no idea what you're asking. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm misunderstanding. Bills rookies. Who rookie?
There were two defensive linemen that I didn't remember playing before.
Oh.
I forget their.
Oh, the defensive linemen. No. They have Fedarian Mathis. He's been in the league a few years. But T.J. Sanders has been playing all year as a rookie. Deion Walker's been playing all year as a rookie. Who are you referencing?
Okay. I was thinking the Mathis. That's the guy that.
Fedarian Mathis was a second round pick just a few years ago. Who just can't remember where he went. Miami maybe, and it just didn't work out. And the Bills picked him up several weeks ago, and maybe a couple months ago actually.
Because it seemed like yesterday with him in there and the other guy, and what's his name, Shaq Thompson, were tougher against the run, don't you think?
Yes. I thought he played a good game yesterday. I thought Fedarian Mathis was good yesterday. And you know, the thing is, you know, his effort is always there, and I really like the way he played. Now, I don't know if I can, you know, trust him to be on the field for 17 games or through a playoff run, but I thought he was good yesterday. And the Shaq Thompson point is something we talk about a lot, and it's been made a lot. Shaq Thompson, the minute he was inserted in the lineup, the Bills got better against the run. It's just the way it's been all year. And then yesterday, Terrell Bernard goes out with an injury. So we'll see about that. It's a calf injury. Sean McDermott didn't have anything else to give us on that after the game. So that's a good time to tell you about the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So the only official injury update we got during the game yesterday was Terrell Bernard, who had left the game, did not return with a calf injury. Shaq Thompson went back to the Mike linebacker spot. Terrell Bernard did start. Shaq Thompson's been the better middle linebacker this year for the Buffalo Bills. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I would also tell you it's good to have Terrell Bernard healthy and available because it gives the Bills options. Matt Milano played really well on the weak side. He had one play where he went out, and I think they were in maybe a dime situation when they put Darnell Savage in there. But Matt Milano's been playing a heck of a three-down linebacker lately. Let's get back to the injury report. Right now, though, Terrell Bernard, you'd love to have him healthy and available for the playoffs, but it still, to me, needs to be Shaq Thompson in the middle, even if that is the case. That being said, Sean McDermott was asked about Matt Prater's availability going forward. The kicker, obviously, he said that he's getting better. Talked to him, you know, through the week, yesterday. I don't know where that stands for next week. You might want to give him another week because maybe, you know, you're playing the game where, okay, do we really want to risk him in a colder, maybe wetter field if it's going to snow or something like that? So that'll be something interesting to monitor. And then Ed Oliver, just so everybody knows, Sean McDermott said that he had a bit of a setback recently. Now, he also said, though, he doesn't know if that will impact his timeline or doesn't think it will impact his timeline, I guess, coming back. But we don't know what that timeline is. For all we know, maybe Ed Oliver starts his opening, you know, they open his 21-day window this week. And if that were the case, if you think he can play in the playoffs, you might want to do that this week because you don't have to put him back on the roster. You give him a little bit of a ramp up. So we'll see how where all that goes. Let's get to Dan in Lancaster. Hi, Dan. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Enjoyed listening to you on the radio.
Thank you.
I'm a little old school, so I just wanted to talk about the two-point conversion. 99.9% of the time, I always say, kick the extra point, go to overtime. And my wife was surprised. I said, go for it. I was like, the odds of Miami beat New England were probably slim. And with all the injuries we had, I said, just go for it. You win, great. Then you play. If you lose, I still think it's a win for us. Sit the starters next week, or at least most of them. I'd play James Cook a little bit. Let him get the rushing title. He's got to get a few more yards in case Taylor does good next week. And I think the positive, the defense, they're going up against the Super Bowl champs, Eagles. They played really good the second half. And, that's all I wanted to say is a lot of people were talking about the two-point conversion, and it was a bad call. We weren't going to win.
Yeah, I think there's – I'm with you, Dan. I'm generally a kick-it guy. I think that, you know, I think in this day and age, there's many, many times where you should go for two. I hate chasing points. And then later on in the game, if you go for two and you miss, you got to chase points. But in this situation, I agree with you, and I thought it was the right call. And everything you brought up is right, Dan, and I'll also bring up – you had a banged-up quarterback. You go to overtime, you got to expose him for another drive or two, and I just don't think that was necessary for the Bills yesterday.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, and hopefully we'll be road warriors this year.
All right, you got it, Dan. Thanks a lot. Bills will be on the road for the playoffs, at least in the first round. I guess the only way they couldn't be in the second round is if they get the five and all the wildcard teams win, 5, 6, and 7. Because then 6 would come to 7, 7 would go to 1. But they're going to be on the road for at least 2 rounds, if you win the first round, of course, right? We'll get into all that in a little while. Derek is in Boston, though. Is this Boston, Massachusetts or Boston, New York, Derek?
The Boston, Massachusetts with all these Pats fans that drive me nuts.
I can imagine, buddy. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
It's terrible. Sal, I love listening to you. Always respect your opinion. My opinion on this game was I think we needed a kicker. Like, even last week, Bagley, he should have been cut last week. I think Justin Tucker is available. I know he's got some legal issues, but you're talking about one of the best kickers in NFL history just sitting out there. What that would solve our kicking this year and next year, right? So that's
no, I don't think so. First, he was not that good when everything happened. It was part of a reason why a lot of people thought it was so much easier for the Ravens to even make that decision. He just hasn't been that good, actually, the last couple of years.
I'd still take him over Bagley there, whatever it is. And Prada, I know he's had a pretty good year this year, but I also feel like he's a little bit older. And I don't know. I would think Tucker would be a upgrade on that end. I want to highlight Brandon Cooks. I think, and I'll keep it quick. Brandon Cooks, I think he actually showed us something this past game. And when Kincaid comes back, I think that's going to open up the offense a little bit. And my last thing is, I'm really thinking about going up to this game this week. I know it's probably going to be maybe some backups, but I think I got to take the trip up. And appreciate what you do. Go Bills.
All right, you got it, man. You got it. Well, Brandon Cooks. All right, so the Justin Tucker stuff, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it, but I mean, like, I just think that there's so much that goes on with that and goes along with that, that at this time of year, I don't see it. I wouldn't want to see it on the Bills. It's just, that's a lot that now you're dealing with a lot of stuff that comes along with that and the kind of distraction, I guess you'd say, and the stories and that you got to kind of work through. And look, Matt Prater's been good this year. He hasn't been perfect. He's been good. He is older. I agree. Weather, a little changing. Folks, they're not just these kickers on the street walking around there that are better. We just saw that this week. They did bring in some this week to kick, but Matt Prater's got to be your kicker. To me, he's got to be your kicker. So that's where I stand on that. Brandon Cooks, I agree. Opening up the offense was nice yesterday. Good to see him get loose down the field a little bit. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you, and we're taking your calls. Good calls today. I appreciate that. So 803-0550, we have open phone lines. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. In about an hour from now, we'll do sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy. All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show to Buffalo Football Friday. Let's get back out to the phone lines right now. Sal Capaccio with you here in Studio Capaccio this morning, and Maureen is in Lancaster. Hi, Maureen.
Hi there. I felt bad for you yesterday and all that rain. My goodness. I just looked out the window now. Today you'd be blowing around. It is.
Oh my God! I'll take yesterday over today. The wind is the worst.
Today. Oh my gosh! It's
yeah,
terrible.
For sure.
Anyway, I feel terrible that they lost, but I think, like most people, actually agree with the move for the 2-point conversion. I've listened to a little of the morning people on TV, and they're actually not killing the Bills for this or making it. You know, they're more concerned about Josh, which I am too. I am concerned. And I think Coach was pretty much saying that yesterday, yeah, how much he was concerned about Josh's foot. My concern for this team is the fact that they carry the weight of the city, this whole region, on their backs because they know we won a Super Bowl. Everything they do is examined under the piece. They're criticized for the littlest thing. But I really felt I felt bad for Josh, and I felt bad for Coach because they really, obviously they didn't plan on missing that kick. But I think in the long run, it maybe is the best thing because they will sit their starters next week and make them a stronger team. And on the road, who knows? You never know. But this has been such a difficult year. Yesterday, I think really what was overlooked is how great the defense kept, you know, Philadelphia on their backs all second half. They didn't do anything, you know, on the ground. They couldn't do anything in the air. They couldn't do anything. We held them. And that's a good thing. Those are good things. So they think we need to focus on something that was good. You know, let everybody heal up. I don't know. I feel bad for my Bills. I never sleep well the night that they lose. And I had a lot of thoughts last night about them because I'm 75 years old and I would love to see a Super Bowl. But I also acknowledge that they have brought us so many wonderful games, so many wonderful games, and that the community has benefited from so many things that this organization has done. Yes, I will keep praying every night. I will keep praying every night for my Bills, for my coach, for every player. I can never criticize them. They have heart. They have soul. They know where they're, they know what this community needs, and that's what they're going for. I feel bad sometimes that they're under so much pressure that doesn't always really get talked about. There.
Thanks, Maureen. Hey, you have a great new year. Thanks for calling, okay?
You too. Okay.
All right, thank you. Always appreciate when Maureen gives a call. Nate in New York City. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Sal. Long time no speak, buddy. How you been?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, happy holidays to you and the family and your new dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bernie.
Yeah, I also want to echo the sentiments the lovely lady just mentioned. I agreed with the move to go for two. I think it sends a message to the league, too, that we're not going to settle for overtime, that we're here to win, and I really liked it. The thing that I'm calling about, though, is I'm pretty frustrated with Joe Brady, and I think last night was kind of a microcosm of the entire season and the frustrations that a lot of us have with his play calling. And I'll just explain really quick. It just seems like there's a lack of diversity in the play calling and a lack of any ability to make significant adjustments, which is in such stark contrast to the defense. You saw what we did in the second half. I think if I read it right, we held Philly to 17 yards of offense. In the entire
16
half.
Actually on 18 plays, counting the kneel down, 16 yards on 18 plays.
And yet on offense, we kept running the same structure and we didn't try anything different. And this seems really to be Brady's Achilles heel, especially against aggressive fronts. We never seemed to have an answer. We didn't have it in Atlanta. We didn't have it in Houston. We didn't have it last night. And it's got to be really frustrating because last night seemed to be an example of what's been happening all season. Yes, we have the reigning MVP. Yes, we have the NFL's rushing leader. But when those things don't seem to click, they don't have the next thing to go to. And I understand we don't have world-beating receivers, but we have a really talented tight end. We had some long plays that made it yesterday. Gabe was essentially silent. It just seemed like, again, I know it's different when you're watching.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
On TV, and you're not really taking it. But every time we seem to get some momentum, we ran Cook into the back of the center and got a yard. And then next thing you know, we were in third and unmanageable. And just, it's really frustrating.
I get it. I think this is one of those deals, Nate, where I struggle with personally. Like, it's like a painter, and I, far be it for me to use an artistic reference. I'm the worst artist in the world. I draw stick figures, okay? But like a painter and the tools and the paint that he has and the brushes that he has. And, you know, I don't know how – I don't really know what he's supposed to do sometimes with the talent or lack of at wide receiver. They are a very good run offense. I do think they're more creative than you're giving them credit for in the run game. Like, it's zone. It's, you know, inside zone, and they do a lot of different things in there, and they pull guys different ways. I think in the passing game, it looks like that a lot of times, which you're not wrong, Nate, but it's the same time. I don't know what else he can do other than try to manufacture ways to just get the ball, guys in their hands. You know what I mean? And it's tough. Here's my biggest frustration, Nate, when I watch, okay? When I watch around the league and I see, and the Bills used to be this team all the time, which they're not anymore. Josh Allen takes five steps, his foot hits the ground, he throws the ball, and someone catches it. I just don't see that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
That's a frustration I have. It's not people want create this, create that. Like, I just want the simple get in a five-step drop, throw the ball to the outside, and a wide receiver catches it. Like, I don't see that anymore.
Right. And a lot of that, though, and again, this is not a slam Joe Brady call. It's the frustration that we have. A lot of that is the schemes, right? We almost never seem to hit a receiver in stride in the middle of a route. It's almost like the plan is run to a spot and turn around. And when you see Josh running around and running for his life, it's because the receivers aren't open.
Right.
I'm not sure that that's a function of lack of talent, or is that a function of not great scheming?
I think there's room for both in debate, and I've debated many people on this, and I don't know the right answer. I'm not going to tell you that it's all Joe Brady, it's all wide receiver. I think there's got to be a mix of that in both, you know, protection issues and Josh himself, he's got to be better in some of these decisions. There's guys open sometimes that he's not choosing to throw to. Nate, I got to run. Thanks a lot. Good hearing from you, man.
Good to talk to you, brother. Happy New Year.
All right, you got it. Happy New Year to you too. We'll take a timeout. Another hour of a great show today. Really good show. I like it. A lot of good calls coming in on the Bills 13-12 loss to the Eagles. And I think the right tone today from a lot of you, which is, look, here's some things that went wrong yesterday, but we're looking ahead, and this is what you got to fix, and this is what went right, and what you like, what you don't like, and we'll keep doing that here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.